Yeah, stop that, will you? Cut that out. Cut that out. And you over there. Got enough of you, Clock.
When the Saints go marching in. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello.
I believe you are Mr. Arthur Shepherd.
Yeah, that is correct. Shepherd by name and shepherd by nature. Ah. Low, my flock are lowing.
Hello, hello.
Oh, it's very good, that. I like that. Hello, hello, yeah. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Can I introduce myself?
Yeah.
My name is Matthew. You may have heard of me and my colleagues, Mark, Luke and John.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard of you lot, yeah.
Yeah. We are doing an in-depth profile of Jesus, or the Messiah, as you may know him.
Yeah, I know him as Jesus, yeah. Yes. Which paper do you work for?
The Bethlehem Star.
Oh, yeah, the Bethlehem Star. The wife and I take that, actually.
Oh, nice.
Don't think much of your racing correspondent.
No?
I had 3 shekels on that camel in the 3:15 at Galilee. It's still bloody running, you know.
Oh, well, I think one of his humps had been nobbled.
Yeah, I think he'd been got at, or else he doesn't like soft sand, you know, maybe that, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, I don't really work on that side of the paper. I'm not a betting man myself, you know. I work on the more serious side, reportage.
Oh, reportage, yeah. That's different, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, a little different. Now, Arthur, I believe you were in on the very first moments surrounding the birth of the Holy Child.
Yeah,
now,
I was.
I wonder if you could describe what happened in your own words.
In my own words?
Yeah.
What happened to me?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, basically what happened, Matthew, was that me and the lads were abiding in the fields.
Abiding in the fields?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mind you, I can't abide these fields.
No.
No, they are unabidable fields. I mean, look around you. They are about the most unabidable fields I've ever abided in, you know. Completely unabidable, these fields.
Yeah.
But I was, we were abiding in them, you know.
Yes.
Watching our flocks by night.
Watching our flocks by night.
Yeah, because that's when you have to watch them, because that's when they get up to all their rubbish, you know.
Yeah.
Hot summer nights, the rams go mad, yeah. Especially that one over there, he's a dirty little bugger. Stop it! Stop that! Doing it in broad daylight, right in front of you.
Well, it's only human, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose you're right there, Matthew. Yeah. It's only human, as you say, yeah.
He's an enthusiast, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a right little guy, that one.
Yeah.
Keeps the whole flock going, that one.
Yeah, good on you. Anyway, now, you were abiding in the field, watching your flocks by night.
Abiding in the field, watching our flocks by night.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Well, much to our surprise, the angel of the Lord come down.
Oh, that must have been a fantastic experience.
Well, it made a break, you know. Bit of a change from just abiding in the field, you know, a bit of excitement, razzmatazz.
Oh, yeah. How did you know it was the angel of the Lord?
Well, I'll tell you, Matthew, what the giveaway was.
Yeah.
He was emanating this ethereal glow.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. And as soon as I saw that ethereal glow that he was emanating, I said to myself, hello, angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
I knew it was the angel of the Lord as soon as I saw that ethereal glow, you know.
Yeah. Halo?
Yeah, halo. Halo and goodbye, we said afterwards. Because he wasn't there for long, like, you know, he just delivered his little message and then he was off like a bat out of hell. Straight up in the sky he went, the clouds parted and he vanished.
Wings?
Oh, wings. Lovely pair of wings, Matthew. Oh, beautiful. Shimmering there in the starlight. It was a beautiful sight.
Must have been really lovely.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
Lit up the grass all around him, with the glow and everything. Beautiful.
What did he say to you, Arthur?
Well, he sort of singled me out, like, from the other lad. And he said, unto ye a child is born.
Yeah.
Unto ye a son is given.
Yeah. What was your reaction?
Total shock. Well, I wasn't married at the time, you know, and I thought to myself, blimey, what was I doing this time last year, you know? Could it be that little girl I met down the Shepherd's Delight, you know?
Yeah.
Little pub I go down to for a pint of goat's foam every now and then. Do you have any goat's foam down there?
Oh, yeah.
Shepherd's Delight.
Oh, it's one of my favourite spots,
It's a nice little haunt, that.
Oh, yeah.
But then the angel of the Lord, gentleman that he is, went on to explain it. When he said ye, he didn't mean me personal-like.
Mm.
He meant ye in the sense of the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
Under the whole world, a child is born. Under the whole world, a son is given.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was using the universal ye.
Yeah, he was using the universal ye.
Yeah.
You're quite right
there.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, universal ye.
Yeah.
Then he went on to say, ye shall find the child.
Mm.
This time he was using the personal ye.
Yes.
Because the old world wasn't there, you know, just talking to us personally.
Yeah.
To be quite truthful, Matthew, off the record, he was getting a bit muddled up with his yees.
Mm. Still, I suppose you get a bit muddled up with your yous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true, I do. I can't tell them apart. So does that bloody ram. Look at him going again. Stop it!
I don't think he gets muddled up at all. He knows exactly where he's going.
Yeah. I was saying, he's a little goer, that.
Yeah.
Well, back to
good
the
luck,
sun.
Mate. Yeah. Anyway, you were saying?
He said, you shall find the child...
Yeah.
...lying in a manger...
Yes.
...all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yes, yes. Now, I suppose your reaction was to whip over there and have a peep immediately, wasn't
it? Well, naturally, Matthew.
Yes.
We all rushed down there.
Yes.
But when I arrived, I was in for a bit of a shock.
Ah.
Because when he said, ye shall find the child all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes, I thought, fair enough, you know, he'll be fairly meanly wrapped,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
Nothing flash, nothing gaudy.
Yes.
But when I got there, it was the meanest bit of wrapping I have ever seen. And what's more, the kid was barely swaddled. I mean, I would say it was the worst wrapping and swaddling job I have ever seen in my life.
You'd say that a very hasty job of wrapping and swaddling had been inflicted on the child.
You may quote me on that, Matthew. Mm. A very hasty job of swaddling and wrapping had been done on the child.
Yeah.
Barely swaddled.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Now, Arthur, I want you to cast your mind back and tell me, what was the atmosphere like in the stable on this tense historic night?
The atmosphere in the stable, Matthew, was very, very smelly. All these cows and goats and sheep about, and they, you know, they weren't being careful. They weren't sort of taking notice of the occasion, like anything like that.
No, that's an interesting sidelight. But what I really meant was, what was the atmosphere like amongst the members of the Holy Family?
Oh, I see. The atmosphere amongst the Holy Family, I would say, was tense.
Tense, yes.
Very tense.
Yes, yes.
Old Joseph was sitting in the corner looking very moody indeed.
Yeah, I suppose he'd be a bit disgruntled not being the real father, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think that was it. And there had been a lot of tittle-tattle, you know, about Mrs. God and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
And personally, it's only a personal point of view, Matthew, but personally, I think this is why he done such a rotten job on the swaddling.
Yeah. Well, you can hardly blame him, can you?
No, I think he felt left out, you know.
Yeah. Was the Holy Ghost there?
Hard to say. He's very elusive, the Holy Ghost, you know. Tends to flit in and out of windows. You can scarcely see him.
Mm.
I didn't see him, though I think he should have been there in his capacity as Godfather, you know.
I suppose even if he wasn't there, he was probably there in spirit.
Yeah, I imagine so, but I can't say I actually saw him, because I'd tell a lie if I say I saw him.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him, I'd love to see him, you know, but I didn't see him.
No, right, that's fair enough, Arthur. Now, I believe later on in the evening, the three wise men came by.
Yeah, three wise men arrived, three bloody idiots if ever I saw any. In they come, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah.
Well, gold, fair enough, you know. A little nugget of gold always comes in handy, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Always do with a little nugget of gold. But what's a little kid going to do with frankincense and myrrh?
Yeah.
I ask you.
Yeah.
I ask you. I mean, myrrh's the stuff what poofs put behind their ear, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Jesus was very polite about it. He sat up in the manger, adjusted his swaddling, and said, "Thank you, gentlemen, for the lovely prezzies. I hope you have a safe trip back."
Ah.
Little charmer, he was.
Little love, eh?
Yeah.
Very precocious, of course.
Yeah, well, talking at half an hour old is pretty good going, isn't it? I was surprised at it.
Very soon after that, you know, he was confounding the elders.
Confounding the elders, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they can't stand that, the elders being confounded, can they?
If there's one thing the elders cannot stand, Arthur, it's being confounded.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, there he was, confounding them at a very early age, because he had this tremendous knowledge, you know, algebra, trigonometry, philosophy, billiards, tap dancing, music.
Tap dancing? And yeah. Music? I didn't know about that.
Marvellous musician, Jesus was. Marvellous musician. As a matter of fact, Mark was able to secure an interview with his old music master.
Oh.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Bloody flies.
This man taught Jesus music.
Jesus? Jesus who?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Yes, good Lord. Christ, Jay. Was one of the outstanding boy sopranos of his day. Had an enormous range, went from to. And I was only sorry to see him leave the choir at the age of 13. I never saw him again.
He never saw him again.
I never saw him again.
He never saw him.
I never saw him again.
He never saw him.
I never saw him.
He never saw him.
I never saw him again.
He never saw him again.
Oh, I'm interested in that musical side to Jesus, because I always understood that carpentry was his sort of main line of business.
Well, it was, actually. I, in fact, talked to somebody who had an example of his work.
Really?
Yeah.
Hello. Yes, actually, he was round here the other day to do a bit of carpentry for me. Submitted a very reasonable estimate, far cheaper than all the other carpenters in Nazareth, I must say. 2 shekels for a chair, which is pretty good going in Nazareth these days at current prices. And it's a simple, rustic garden chair, nothing spectacular or anything like that, but sturdy, well made, and I'm very happy with it indeed.
Oh, Lord, it'll take a bloody miracle to get this lot together.
That was the marvellous thing about Jesus' carpentry. He had a sort of built-in guarantee.
Yeah, I see you need it, actually, because it wasn't much of a chair, was it?
No, as a conventional carpenter, Jesus wasn't very much cop at all. No, it was his little brother, Jimmy Christ, who did all the joinery.
You had a brother?
Yeah.
Jimmy Christ? I never heard of Jimmy Christ.
You never heard of little Jimmy Christ?
I've never heard of little Jimmy or big Jimmy Christ. I've never heard of any Jimmy Christ at all.
Lovely boy, Jimmy Christ. Lovely boy.
Never heard of him.
He was a very shy lad, you know. Yeah. He shunned publicity. In fact, he used to say to Jesus, he said, "You save the world, I'll take care of the built-in cupboards."
Well, that's a fair division of labour, isn't it?
Oh, really? Yes.
Jimmy the joiner.
Yeah. Lovely lad.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Tell me about Jesus. He never got married, did he?
No, like father, like son.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But who looked after him, like? I mean, who did all his undies, little things like that?
Well, he had a very nice landlady, actually, a certain Mrs. McMire.
Mrs. McMire?
Yeah, lovely old girl. And Mark was able to trace her down and have an interview.
Mrs. McMire, I understand that you actually knew Jesus.
Yes, thank you, and hello. Mr. Jesus was in residence at Dead Sea View for many happy years. He was a model lodger, you know, very well behaved. He didn't have girls in his room or anything smutty like that.
I believe also that you did the cooking for him.
Oh, yes. I used to do him a packed lunch every day. Mostly low-calorie stuff, you know, unleavened bread, goat's cheese, and that sort of thing. Because he used to like to keep himself in trim. He used to say to me, Mrs. McMire, if I'm going to save the world, I've got to keep myself in trim, not go to seed like that great fat Buddha.
Did he ever have any problems at all with his health?
His health? No, not at all. No, he's a very healthy man. I do remember one time, however, he came back from an afternoon out with his feet absolutely sopping wet. I said, Mr. Jesus, where on earth have you been? He said, Mrs. McMahon, I've been walking on the water. I said, Mr. Jesus, you're playing with fire walking on the water. And sure enough, you got a sniffle.
A slight sniffle. Now tell me, Mrs. McMahon, is there anything else you remember about this remarkable man?
Well, I could go on for an eternity, of course, but I don't suppose you'd be interested in that. No, I do remember, however, one amusing episode. One afternoon, Mr. Jesus came to me and said, Mrs. McMahon, you always used to address me like that, Mrs. McMahon. I've got 5,000 people coming for a picnic lunch today. Can you provide me with some food? I said, Mr. Jesus. I said, 5,000 people for lunch. I said, this is bed and board for one. He said, well, look, do me a favor, would you? I said, well, look, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the house. He said to me, and you could have knocked me down with a feather, that is ample sufficiency. Well, off he went with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Came back a few hours later with 12 basketfuls of leftovers. All I can say is he was a very delicate carver.
She seemed like a very nice lady, that Mrs. McMire.
Oh, yeah, lovely old
very,
soul.
Very kindly faced, she had.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing I heard. I don't know whether it's true. I heard a rumour that Jesus travelled abroad a bit. Didn't he go to England or somewhere peculiar like that?
Yeah, well, I heard that Jesus had gone to England, you know, so I, in fact, went across to check up on that.
You're very thorough.
Oh, you have to be, you know.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Excuse me, Enoch.
Yes?
Dip those feet in ancient times. Walk upon England's mountains green. In was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures a seen.
Actually, no. He did come over here, but we had a rather severe unemployment problem amongst our own savers at the time, and we were really looking for sort of road builder types, so I had to send him on his way back. It was nothing to do with the fact that he had this rather long hair and was Jewish.
Oh, well, thank you very much for your cooperation. Oh, blimey, look at the time. Oh. Here, could you tell me the quickest road back to Galilee?
As far as I'm concerned, all roads lead to Rome.
What?
Tickle your ass with a feather.
Pardon?
I said particularly nasty weather.
I didn't really care for that Enoch bloke there.
He was a very nasty sort.
Yeah, particularly nasty fella, I thought he was.
Particularly nasty fella.
Particularly nasty fella, that, yeah. I'll tell you one thing, Matthew, I always felt very sorry for Jesus about, and that was having his birthday on Christmas Day. You know, so he only got one lot of presents. Didn't really seem fair, that.
No, it was a shame, really. Anyway, he wasn't much of a complainer, so we didn't hear any...
No grumbles from him.
No grumbles from him. Thank you very much, Arthur, for your cooperation. It's been really very nice talking to you.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Matthew.
And I'll tell you what, I'll send you a copy of the article when I've finished it.
Oh, that'd be lovely, because you get a bit bored here, you know, just sitting and abiding in the field, so a bit of reading matter would come in handy,
sure.
I must say.
Yes. Yeah. We're calling it The Gospels, actually.
Oh, that's a good title. Gospels.
Gospels.
Yeah.
I think it'll be an even better seller than the Old Testament.
Well, I think you'll do well with it, Matthew. Yeah, because you, from what you've told me, you've got an unbelievable story there. You know. Unbelievable, you know.
It's got all the ingredients. Tragedy, romance, drama, happy ending.
Yeah,
you know,
everything
that.
There.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got to be off because I've got an interview with Pontius Pilate, you know. But I don't know if I'll get him. He's always in the bathroom washing his hands.
Yeah, I've heard that Pontius is... Matthew, just before you go, could you tell me one thing? You know all those miracles, like Mrs. McMire was talking about?
Yeah.
Walking on the water and things like that.
Yeah.
Were they really true, or was it just, you know, publicity?
Oh, no, it was all true.
True?
Oh, yes. In fact, we had an eyewitness to the walking on the water, the late George Griddle. Do you remember him?
George Griddle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him. George Griddle, he used to have that column in your paper, didn't he?
Right.
Round and about Jerusalem with George Griddle.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, the wife used to love that column. Very spicy, full of... tittle-tattle, you know.
Yeah.
My True Confessions by Salome.
That's it, yeah.
He ran that for 16 weeks, didn't he?
Yeah.
Terrific stuff.
Oh, he was a lovely writer, George.
What happened to George then?
Well, it was a bit of a tragedy, really. Might have been Matthew, Mark, Luke, John and George Griddle, but, you know, fate decreed otherwise.
Did she?
Yes. Anyway,
fate is a female, isn't
she? Oh, that's true, yes.
Fate decreed otherwise,
you said. Yes, you had me going for a bit there. Now, George had been given this assignment, 24 hours in the life of Jesus, yeah. You know. And he'd been following him around during the morning, but he hadn't got very much to report, you know, just ordinary things, really, like, well, Jesus sits down.
Yeah.
Jesus stands up.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Jesus calls out to his dog, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Yeah. Nothing what you could call sensational there, is there?
No front page material, Arthur.
Nothing to sell newspapers with.
No.
Read all about it. Jesus sensation. Jesus sits down.
Yeah.
Jesus stands up. Sensation. No, you couldn't work that way, could
Jesus
you?
Jesus has a cup of tea.
Sensation.
Read all about it.
No
use at all.
No use.
Wouldn't have sold a paper, you see. Anyway, that's all by the by. Suddenly, Jesus comes to this lake.
Yeah.
And there you see Jesus being followed in hot pursuit by the late George Griddle. Anyway, I better be off, Arthur, but I think you'll find the picture speaks for itself.
All right. Ta-ra, my son.
Ta-ra, mate.
See you.